when I read the marquee that said Repairs of the Breach Church, because as you know, Restoration Academy was founded on Isaiah 58:12, and that term is from there. And I thought, well, man, that is just an encouragement to me. And of course, I've had the privilege of getting to know Reverend Herman Bibbs, my brother, pastor for 37 years. When you hear something like that, that should say, listen to what he has to say. So two things about him that I've recognized very quickly. One is his just giving nature. I can't tell you how many times that we've done things together, what he'll say to me is, Carl, whatever you need, whatever we have that we can offer, it's yours. The other thing is courage. One of their initiatives is to reach out to the young people, especially those that have gotten involved in gangs and crime and other activities in Fairfield, and intentionally targeting them to win them to Christ and disciple them. That is in this man's heart and the heart of his people. So I look forward to what the Lord has put on his heart for us today. Pastor. We are going to mic you because we're going to tape this and it'll be online for those of us who were not here today. You want it in the stand? You want to hold it?
I think I'll hold it for now anyway. Amen. God bless you. Amen. And thank you, Father Carl, and to all of the ministers and all of you that are here. It's good to be on God's side. Amen. And when everybody is picking sides, it's good that we've picked the right side. I prayed this morning about what to share with you. And the Spirit of the Lord, early this morning, God has the tendency to wake you up early and then not let you go back to sleep because he has some things he wants to share with you. But immediately, awaking from my sleep, I heard the voice of God say to me, "For our weapons are not carnal." And I want to go to the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And the word of the Lord says in the fourth verse, as a matter of fact, let's begin at the third verse. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." The very interesting thing that we have to realize in this day, that God is changing church and giving us a greater understanding that the church was only a vehicle to God's kingdom. God wants to establish on this earth his kingdom. Now, everybody is always talking about destruction and what's going to happen here and what's going to happen there. Well, my Bible tells me something very interesting. In the book of Daniel, who is the revelator of the Old Testament, the Bible says that there was a visitation in the second chapter of the book of Daniel. And Nebuchadnezzar saw this statue and saw it beginning with gold all the way down to feet that was of iron and clay. Those things that he saw, the various parts of the body, represent various kingdoms. And then by design, he saw a stone. It's very interesting if you study the stone in the Bible. And one scripture that really catches my attention is that the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. But the Bible says that he saw the stone, and the stone came And every kingdom that was established, the stature representing not only the kingdom that it talks about in particular, but other kingdoms that were like it. Every kingdom represented, which represented all the kingdoms of the world, ending with the feet of Mar, clay and iron, I believe, which represents communism and democracy, every kingdom was destroyed. And then it's something that they forget in studying this, for they get excited about the destruction of every kingdom. But they forget that in the 44th verse, the Bible says emphatically that this stone rolled and it became a mountain. And the Bible says that the mountain covered the entire earth. That mountain that they were seeing by the interpretation of Daniel represented God's kingdom. And so every kingdom that has failed, there is a kingdom that is being established that will never fail. It is God's kingdom. And we all are a part of God's kingdom. We all are a part of that God has ordained to come forth at this time. If you study about every kingdom, of course, the enemy is sin. Now, it's something that I'm going to drop in your spirit that you may not know. Satan is the servant of sin. Are you listening to me? Satan is the servant of sin because at the end, Satan will be bound. He is a servant. He is the servant of sin. The interesting thing is I was teaching on last week that I found in the scripture, Satan was in perfection. Satan was created, Lucifer, the angel of light, and he was created to do nothing but good. He knew nothing about sin because at that time sin had not been manifested. Sin was here because everything that is created is always here. It was created by God. Sin is here. It was here at that time, but it had not manifested itself. Something very interesting that you'll learn about sin. Sin always needs somewhere to live. It needs an opening. It needs some way to get in. And this angel created to do nothing but good, and it's interesting to me that perfection fails. The only perfection that does not fail is God's perfection. The Bible says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is also perfect. Now, that doesn't mean that you're perfect now, and you know better than that. You know that there are things that you are still working on, things that you need to get delivered from, things that you need to get good and saved from. And the Bible says, Paul said that when I would to do good, evil is ever present with me. But thank God for the 8th chapter. He said, therefore now, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, understand this. Understand this. So, God does not condemn us for our wrong, but he convicts us so that we can say yes. All of this time, God working on us and dealing with us and delivering us and setting us free from those things. We are the light of the world, and we get a little brighter every day. Every day we walk with God, we get a little brighter. And the interesting thing in the book of Revelation is that when we meet him, the Bible says that the kings shall bring their glory into the city. In the Bible, we are both prophet, priest, and king. And the Bible says and tells us that there is no need of light. That means that we've gone through tests and trials and persecutions and situations in our life. And after going through all of those things, God, because we didn't give up, we kept on trying, we kept on praying, we kept on seeking God. And because of that, God has begun to do a transformation. The Bible says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That is so powerful, because most sacrifices are supposed to be dead. You were not considered a sacrifice until you were dead. But he says something very interesting. He says alive, a living sacrifice. That means that what God wants are people that are totally yielded and given up to him. Now, there are a lot of people that talk church, but there are not too many people that want to totally surrender their lives to God. But what God is calling for now as never before is people that will seek him, that will totally surrender everything to God. Sometimes when you surrender things to God and surrender your life to God, that means family won't understand. That means friends won't understand. Because sometimes there are things that they want to do and you just simply can't do it. Sometimes every once in a while, God calls you away and say, no, no, today is my day. I want you to get away with me. I want you to spend some time with me. Well, the Bible in this scripture is teaching that first we're in a warfare. Now, whether you know it or not, the devil don't like you. He's very upset about you. You see, because you get an opportunity that he never will get. Satan right now, if he could repent and stop being the devil, he'd do it and go back to heaven. But he can never repent. You have the ability to say, God, I'm sorry. And God will come into your life. No matter what you've done, how many times you've done it, God keeps forgiving and forgiving and loving and loving. And you know he forgives you so until finally, whatever that was that you did wrong, you say, God, well, I'm not going to do that no more. It's something about being in love with God. It's something about walking with me. The old song that he walks with me and talks with me and tells me I'm his own. God says in this word that we're in warfare. We're fighting. We're fighting because the enemy does not want God's kingdom to be established. We're fighting very simply because the devil does not like you. Because he knows that more and more you're being changed. The Bible says, and be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Every day we need a mind renewal. When you come to church and you hear the word of God, it's no reason to come if you're not going to listen. But as you listen, some kind of way, that word's going to find something that you know you need to pray about. And that's why he has an altar. That's why you can come. I tell people all the time that the altar is not just for sinners. The altar is for church folk. Because we all, every once in a while, hear a word from God that says we need a special touch, we need a special deliverance, and we need God to do something in our lives. We're in a warfare. We're fighting. We're fighting. In a book that is a tremendous book called The Art of War, this man who has learned war talks about how important it is to become committed. Commitment is so important. That's what God wants, total and complete commitment. Church is a vehicle. And as a matter of fact, church is not church until church gets in you. It's a vehicle to take you to the kingdom of God. You are becoming the kingdom. You, every one of you in here, you are becoming God's kingdom. Yes, if you study about every kingdom that is mentioned in the book of Daniel, if you study their history and study their background, you see that one of the downfalls was sin. And whether you know it or not, America America is being consumed by sin. Decisions that are being made by men that are in politics, things that people are doing, crime wave. It doesn't matter where you live. Crime is everywhere. You can move wherever you want to move. Try the moon. Wherever you want to move, you can move. But crime is there. All kind of things that we talk about, and we can make a long list about sin. But I love the word that says, where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. It's something about the power of God and the anointing of God. It's not just what we feel. It's not just how we act. But it's something that's in our hearts, in our minds, and all of these things that seem so hard to do. Once we surrender to God, we can do it. We're in a warfare. And in a warfare, you must fight. Now, we're used to weapons. We're used to guns. I've never seen so many pistol-packing ladies in all my days. We're used to guns. We're used to various forms of gun. We're used to knives. We're used to all of these things that we call weapon. And if you go to the range and practice with your gun, those of you that are hunters, and you practice with your gun, you become pretty good. And some of you got bragging rights, what you can hit at so many distances and what you can do with your weapon. This country, nations are in competition to develop weapons that they use to fight. But the Bible says that our weapons are not carnal. What I wonder is how many of you have become good at using your spiritual weapons. I wonder, do you go to the spiritual field and practice? Do you spend those hours in prayer? Have you learned your word? Do you stand up for God in any situation? Sometimes just being a light, just being someone that people can look at and say, something is different about them. Sometimes on your job, somebody needs to see the right kind of smile. Oh, if you grumpy and full of the devil every day, wake up, your husband's mad at you because you're mad at him. Wake up with all kind of problems and all of the situations that you're going through, situations you got yourself into, and your spirit is off and messed up. Don't you understand that you can't show a light? But if you learn how to turn things over to the Lord and you learn how to let him work it out, he has answers. You've been waiting on them, but you got to seek him. Seek and you shall find. Knock, the door shall be open, but you have to ask before it can be given. I want you to understand, yes, we have a weapon that God has given us. And now let me talk for just a moment about the greatest weapon. The greatest weapon, that has ever been used. The greatest weapon that you have. The only thing that the Lord asked a question about when he comes back to this earth, would he find this, is your faith. And I want to give you a secret. The greatest faith is not the individual faith. The greatest faith is not the individual faith. Because you see, the individual faith can only release an individual anointing. But what God is wanting to see as never before is the corporate anointing. When we learn how to bind our faith together, there are many things that have separated us. I don't care how long we live here, we're not going to all agree on a lot of things. But one thing we can agree on, Jesus is Lord over all. As I conclude this, there was an interesting scripture in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, which is the Academy Award of God. All through the scripture, when you're reading that, a little while ago, I ran upon this and it just messed me up. All through that chapter, he's saying, and he, and she, and he's talking about the exploits of every child of God. And then I got down to the 29th verse, and it just messed me up. It just messed me up. It just tripped me out. It says, and they walked across on dry land. It was the only way to get to the promised land. It had to be that some of them had to die in the wilderness, because what the Lord was looking for was the corporate anointing. Once he got the corporate anointing, once he got those million of people to come together with faith, man, I pray for Moses even now, and he's gone. When I read that scripture, I want to pray for him, because he was trying to get a million people to operate in faith. I have trouble with 10 sometimes. He was trying to get a million people to believe God. They saw every miracle. They saw, you see, you understand that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God did that. You see, sometimes you're dealing with situations. A few years ago, we had been in the church, pastor here, father here remembers, in Pratt City. We had been there for over 20 years. And I was in Philadelphia preaching. And I got a phone call. Renee, my daughter, ran to the phone and she came back and she didn't want to show expression to me. But finally, when I went out, I knew something. I knew something. The Spirit of the Lord will always let you know. I knew something had happened. And so she told me, she said, Dad, tornado came and destroyed the church. Well, God gave us a miracle because they were in there getting ready for Easter, and they were in Easter service preparing for Easter. Nobody was hurt. Building was totally destroyed, but God saved everybody in the building. Amen. And then we, in the second building that we had, there were children there preparing to do their presentations at Easter, and the building was not even touched. Miracle from God. But when I got home, you see, I had worked in this city preaching and ministering for a long time. And finally, the people were there, and they seemed to really be believing God, and things were happening. We were bringing conventions to the city, and people were getting blessed in those conventions. And I relaxed and thought, God, ooh, Jesus, I finally made it. And then soon as I thought that I had finally made it, the tornado came and hurt, upset, angry. I wanted God, praying hard. I was praying good. I had to get an answer. God, why did you let the devil do this? God said to me, the devil didn't do it. God said, I did it. Now, I couldn't understand why. And for the next 13 years, it was a development process. The only thing that kept me in the city is that I knew God had sent me here. And during that time, I checked quite a bit. But God moved for me after those years. You see, he had to prepare the hearts of those people in Fairfield to be ready to give up that building because he wanted to send me to Fairfield. And he wanted to see how long would I trust him. How long would I put my confidence in him and in his word? I prayed a lot. I talked to him a lot. And every time he would deal with me. During that period of time, my kidney failed. And for years I was on dialysis. One morning I woke up and the strength in my arm and leg was gone. And I rushed to the doctor, thought that maybe I had a stroke. The doctor said, it's nothing but muscle weakness. You work with it. You walk again. Well, you know, I was thinking I was still 20, 21, and so I said, that won't take long. And the doctor said, it's going to take a little longer than you think. All of this before he decided to give me another opportunity to work for him. And he fixed it so that I couldn't use what I thought possibly was my expertise. But I have to totally trust him for things that I've never had to trust him before. But I've learned that through any test, the harder the test, the greater the victory. I can't take the credit, because if it had not been for the saints of God that banded together and prayed for me, held me up, saints of God from across this nation wrote and said, we're praying for you. We're holding you up in prayer. If it had not been for their faith, combined with my faith, I would not have this victory. You've got to understand as never before. That's why we come to church on Sunday morning. We combine our faith together. We use that weapon that God has given us. In my sickness, when I was at my lowest, when every day it looked like I was going to die, I saw people in dialysis dying next to me. I would wake up from sleep, for the dialysis was 3 hours, and I would wake up and I would see someone dead next to me. But there was a word at the beginning of my sickness that God gave to me. He said to me, he said, you will live and not die. And every time I was at my end, I said over and over again until it came alive in my spirit. And when it came alive in my spirit, it would speak for itself. Every time I'd go through, I would hear the word of the Lord say, you'll live and not die. Understand something, my friends, that's your greatest weapon. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're dealing with. You're praying about a son, a daughter, someone in your life whose life need to be changed. Don't give up, mama. Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. Because God's word is true. I want to share with you one last testimony. My mother was a woman of prayer that loved God. She, at the end of her life, went into the church, and she asked them to give her a room in the church. And 80% of her time was spent in the church praying and waiting before God. And people would come, and she would share with them a word from God. And on her deathbed, she said, "I don't have a lot to leave you." She said, "But I have this that I can give to you." She said, "Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I've learned to trust in God." All, both my sister and I, preachers of the gospel, all of us, except my father, were saved. And my mother said to me, "God gave me a promise, and God's going to save your father." I went to the city of Kansas to conduct a meeting, and I stayed with my father, and God moved tremendously in the meeting. And one night, my father came walking in the church. He came and he sat there, and as I began to preach, I watched the tears run down his cheeks. He got up when I made the altar call and came to the altar. And I testified that I believe that the faith of my mother spoke from the grave and said, "God, you promised me." He got saved on a Wednesday night. Friday night, I came home. He decided to stay home that night. When I got to the house, he had gone on to be with the Lord. 2 days, Mama, before he died, God honored the faith of my mother. Don't give up on your children. Don't stop praying for that husband, that wife. Don't stop praying. Things that you've held before the Lord and it doesn't seem like the answer's gonna come. God keeps his word and he will never fail. Believe me when I tell you, there's a great move coming. Every kingdom of the world is going to be taken down. Every sin that the enemy has tried to use against the church to destroy the church, we put our confidence in nobody's flesh, but we pray for our leaders. We pray for the men and women that are teaching and preaching the word because they're under a greater attack. But understand there's a move of God because the faith of God's people is coming together like never before. In the book of Genesis, chapter 11, the Lord saw something so powerful till he had to stop it. He saw everybody working together, and they were trying to build a place that would go all the way to heaven. And he looked, and he said something that is grammatically incorrect. But he said something because when he looked, he did not see millions of people. He said, "The people is one." And he said that whatever they purpose in their heart, it's going to happen. Don't you understand? Yes, that was in the negative, but in the positive, as the people of God come together and God and the devil look and see the people as one, the enemy's going to get scared. God's going to get happy because he knows that nothing will happen to destroy his kingdom because the people have caught the message. Not you, but ye are the light of the world. Working together in the faith of God, it's something exciting. There's a revival breaking out. there's a move of God breaking out. There is deliverance that is coming to America. Don't be looking down. No power of the devil is greater than the power of God. God's power is greater than any force of this universe. We're in the midst of a breakthrough. We're in the midst of a revival. We're in the midst of a time when God is going to turn people around. And I see the altars filled. Men and women coming to God. Be encouraged. Know that your faith will stand. Trust God and believe Him. God bless you this morning.
Amen. Well, let's stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.